everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Meant to bring you ideas, concepts, guests. Help you lead a more positively minded life. And the way you can lead a more positively minded life is to understand the law of life. The way it works. If that's the right idea, we're going to find today, we're going to talk about emotional blackmail. Yes, emotional blackmail. Some attention's been paid to it recently by Susan Forward, who took a look at it. Emotional blackmail. What is emotional blackmail? What is it? Get ready. A lot of people right now are calling people up. You know, they heard the topic. Oh, you got to listen to what Armand's talking about today. Well, this is one of those things. If you have an emotional blackmail, you probably already know the entire program. It's a powerful form of manipulation in which people threaten to punish each other emotionally if they don't do what you want. Emotional punishment can take many different forms. It could take the form of rage. That's emotional punishment. Critical or demeaning expressions, such as calling you weak, slow, pointing to your inadequacies. You know, you're really this, you're that, you're no good. Labels, such as calling you selfish and greedy. Emotional blackmail comes in many forms. Another form of emotional blackmail is compliments. Showering you with compliments. Well, how can showering you with compliments be a form of emotional blackmail? It's easy. When you don't get what you want, you withhold the compliment. This is Armand DeMille with you. We're talking about blackmail, emotional blackmail. There are four types of emotional blackmailers. One is called the punisher. The other one is called the self-punisher. Another is the sufferer. And the last is the tantalizer. Four different kinds of blackmailers. Now, with every blackmailer, there goes a blackmailee. One who gets blackmailed. It takes two to tango in this blackmailing kind of way because it takes a certain kind of person on the other side of the blackmailer to make the blackmailer perpetuate, keep going their blackmailing stuff. So we're going to talk about both today. We're going to talk about both the blackmailer and the blackmailee. We talk about the ones who punish. They punish directly. They just yell at you, scream at you, call you names. That's one type. Then there's a self-punisher. You remember when you were a kid, somebody would say, I'll hold my breath until I die, right? They vow to be upset. They're going to get sick. They're going to quit their jobs. They're going to, if somebody says to you, you know, if you don't, if it's a mate, you know, the mate says, well, if you turn me off like that sexually, I'm going to go drink again. When they stop drinking, I'm going to take drugs. Or if you feel like you got to go out and get a job, well, then I'm going to go out and find some other friend to be with. That's a different kind of blackmailer. The kind of blackmailer who's going to hurt themselves as a result of you not giving them what they want. They often threaten suicide. High drama, hysteria, and an air of crisis usually is in those relationships when you're in a relationship with a self-punisher. There you are. Like I said, it takes two to tango in this case. But when there's emotional blackmail and you've got a self-punisher threatening you, they could really blackmail you. I mean, if it's somebody who's been, they stop drinking, they'll tell you, if you don't do it my way, I'll drink again. They're going to threaten to hurt themselves. You see, self-punishers tend to be very needy and very dependent. And there's two sides to that, because remember, it takes two to have emotional blackmail. Needy, dependent people are very nice if you're very insecure. If you're insecure and you want to feel powerful, you get related to these needy, dependent people. Very often, people who are addicts in one form or another, food addicts, drug addicts, sex addicts, love addicts. But an addict, you know, somebody who's a alcohol addiction, you know, somebody who's that, you get related to them. They're very needy people. They substitute you for their addiction. You become the one they become, and then you threaten to want to do something on your own. And the self-punisher threatens to go back to their old addiction as a result of you forming your own way of being. So you got to remember, it takes two people to have emotional blackmail. One is the blackmailer, and the other is the blackmailee. In the case of self-punishers, the blackmailer threatens to punish themselves because any threat of separation by the other person, you know, threatens them. It's two people. You've formed too close a relationship. It's become enmeshed. The other advantage of being in a relationship with somebody who's very dependent is it makes you feel very strong and powerful, like you're saving their lives. But then if you become a lifesaver, the emotional blackmail is that they can make believe you're not successful at it. They can use the fact that you're not saving their lives as a weapon against you. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. Self-punishers are usually a part of a relationship where one person is very dependent. But in a relationship where one person is dependent, the other usually feels this kind of power. So how do you deal with them? You blackmail them. You threaten them that something is going to go wrong with you if they do what they feel like doing. The blackmailed is one type of person. Blackmailer is the other. There's always two in a relationship that has blackmail in it. Type of blackmail, right? There's another type is the sufferer. They sit in misery. You know, a classic of this is the person who is sitting by the phone. You know, you have this picture of a mother who's sitting by the phone, and she's sitting and she's waiting for the call from her son, who hasn't called her in weeks. And she doesn't eat and she doesn't do anything. It's the sufferer. The sufferers are preoccupied by how awful they feel, and they see your inability to read their minds as proof that you don't really care about them. So you say, "What's wrong, Mom?" You should know. And the truth is that they actually believe that you should be able to read their minds, and if you read their minds, you would see that it's your fault after all. But they don't want to say it. So they sit in misery. Parents are very good at doing this, especially single parents. You know, when there's only one parent left, they kind of use this weapon. Sometimes they get depressed. Sometimes they get mute, they won't even speak, often teary-eyed. Many just pull away and when they don't get what they want. Now, the interesting thing is if you have a parent or somebody who is so screwed up, the obvious thing is that, you know, if they had broken their arm, you take them to a doctor, you could say to them, "Look, let's go to a doctor. Let's go to Armand DeMille. We'll take a look at your depression. We'll see what's going on." Well, they also resist therapy. You see, they don't want therapy. This is an operation on you. This blackmail is about you. It's not going to work outside the house. They certainly don't want it busted, so they'll find a reason not to go to take care of it in some way. The depression works for them. Sufferers remind us often about how bad their luck has been. How unfortunate they've been over time. You know, if they talk to you, they say, I once had this house, and the house was taken away by an avalanche, and then I bought a farm, and, there was a volcano, and, you know, things like that over and over again, and just how it wasn't your fault, and then the city moved in, and it was nobody's fault, but you lost. They lose things. And see, when a sufferer, blackmailer, they give you a hint that if you could be their good luck, You see that you're the one who's going to provide them with good luck for the very first time. So the sufferer blackmailer has got you emotionally wrapped up in their problems, and they're telling you about all the bad luck and how everybody treats them badly, and it gives you the feeling that you should be the one to treat them well. And that's just another trick. Now, another type of blackmailer is called the tantalizer. Now, this is very interesting. Because they encourage you, they promise you love or money or career advancement. They tantalize you. They give the carrot on the stick, you know. They make it clear that if you don't do what they want, you won't get the prize. But they may never give you the prize. This is the kind of man who will, a person who will meet somebody and say, oh, I've got to introduce you to my friend who's a great movie director. You've got to meet him. So if you want to get into theater, you've got to meet my friend, but you got to give me what I want. See, emotional blackmail right there. The emotional blackmail is that, you know, either I'm not going to give you the introduction or you have to take care of me in some way. The rewards always seem juicy. And also, if a tantalizer often boasts about what they have in life. They boast about where they've traveled. They boast about where they might take you. They boast about how you might be able to be with them in the big show, whatever the big show is, and, you know, that you're going to be able to play in this big league. But don't disappoint them. So a fourth type of a blackmailer, emotional blackmailer, is called a tantalizer. So tantalizers, we talked about two sides to every blackmail. There's a blackmailer and a blackmailee. On the other side of a tantalizer is a tantalizee. I'm making that up, of course. But what kind of person gets tantalized? A person who gets tantalized is a person who hopes that they're going to get their big break by somebody introducing them. They don't just go out and compete. Usually people who are easily tantalized are people who don't feel that they can compete in the normal world, you know? So this is the kind of person who goes to a classroom and they can't make it in a classroom, so they flirt with the teacher. You know, they can't get their A's and they can't compete that way, so they do something. The tantalizee, the person who could be easily manipulated by tantalizers, is usually a person who doesn't feel adequate to challenge other people in a fair battle, a fair competition. So people who hang around tantalizers are generally inadequate people. Or feel inadequate, not that they are inadequate. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about one of the things that people go through in life, and we're going to be taking your calls a little later. We're talking about emotional blackmail. Blackmail meaning, you know, a threat. It's some kind of an emotional threat, something that if you don't do it my way, you're going to wind up suffering for it. There are many different types of blackmailed people or blackmailees. The one type is the approval seeker. Now, the approval seeker is, you know, it's okay to want approval. Everybody would like a little approval. But when you need approval, when you must get approval, it can become a drug. And if you're addicted to the drug of approval, you invite blackmailers. You invite them. You say, come on in. I'm easy prey. All you have to do is disapprove, and I'll do anything you say. Hey, that's a poem. Come on in, I'm easy prey. All you have to do is disapprove, and I'll do anything you say. But if you need approval, as I said, you're inviting a blackmailer in. Another type of blackmailed person, the person who gets blackmailed, is a peacemaker. This is a person who really doesn't like anger, and they need to make calm. Everything has got to be calm, and it is like they live with an 11th commandment in life, which is, thou shalt not get angry. Right? That's the rule. Nobody's allowed to get angry. So in this case, the peacemaker, who is one of the classically blackmailed, they are always trying to make peace. So if the blackmailer threatens them with anger and manifesting anger, they've always got to put you to rest. They usually get in between struggles, too. If two people are fighting with each other, they get in the middle. They'll do anything to make peace because they hate the expression of anger. They can't stand it. Another kind of blackmailed, these are the people who get blackmailed, are the blame takers. There are a lot of people, you know, who, I remember a guy said to me once, he said, when I was born, somebody pointed their finger at me and said, it's your fault, and I believed him. He said, and this is, he said, he's gone on for the rest of his life taking the blame for everything. So these are guilty people. People who feel inordinate amounts of guilt. They feel responsible for everything. You know, in many ways, I think sometimes it makes you feel powerful to feel responsible for everything. It's a way of having power. But if you have guilt as the basis of your personality, then it's very easy to manipulate you. So people who will emotionally blackmail you can easily do so because you're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel responsible. Just similar to that is a person with the Atlas syndrome. An Atlas syndrome is somebody who's got to solve always problems, or everybody's problems. It's always, they're always feeling powerful in some kind of way because they're problem solvers. Well, one of the ways of blackmailing people is to blackmail them by not letting them solve the problem, by giving them a problem that's too hard to solve. Giving them an emotional problem. They can't make you feel better. One of the last kinds of emotional blackmailed, these are the people who get blackmailed, is the bleeding heart. The bleeding heart, the very compassionate, the very ultra-compassionate, they're empathetic, they're compelled to really get your point of view. They're always in your heart in some kind of way. They never set up a limit between them and the person who's not feeling well. They get emotionally blackmailed because they have such compassion that the other person could really exploit their compassion. And finally, there's the self-doubter. The self-doubter is a person who is also gets easily emotionally blackmailed because the self-doubter, they figure that they can't be right about anything. All you have to do is tell them they're wrong and they believe it. Armand DeMille here with you with a positive mind. Hey, how about you, my friends? Have you been blackmailed emotionally, or do you use emotional blackmail? Is there a chance? Yes, there is a very good chance. Emotional blackmail taking place in a relationship does not necessarily mean the end of a relationship. You do want to end it. I mean, there are people like punishers use, they don't always have to be articulate or even speak. They can be silent. The silent type, the cold, hard silence of punishers is difficult for almost anyone to bear, and you'd almost sell your soul to avoid living with somebody who says something, says nothing and won't speak to you. How do you deal with that stuff? We're going to get to that a little later. Right now, what I'd like to do is take one of your calls to hear from you about your own experience with emotional blackmail. Do you see yourself the way you might emotionally blackmail? That would be a really insightful thing I'd like to hear from somebody. Or do you see yourself as a person who's always on the other side of emotional blackmail? Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's a positive mind. We are going to take calls about emotional blackmail, how you've lived with it, how it's been there for you, or how you've used it yourself. 212-209-2900. You know, again, you know, when we talk about people who are blackmailed, you must remember they have either an excessive need for approval, an intense fear of anger, a need for peace at any price, a tendency to take too much responsibility, or a high level of self-doubt. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. It's just our first call. There it goes. Hi there. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Hello there.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Dr. DeMille?
Yep.
How are you? First, I want to thank you for the many years that you provided such insight, okay, and contributed to my spiritual transformation. I want to bless you, and I want to acknowledge my appreciation, okay, for it, myself and my wife. And you're bringing up a very significant point during the course of even my own relationship with my wife. My wife has been successful. I couldn't put a name on it, the tactics that she utilizes. She came from a background, Jamaican ancestry, where, you know, the way she was raised, her parents were very harsh, very distant, alienated her, okay? They didn't show affection for her. And so my wife has carried that into our own relationship. We've been married for 5 years, and she has never kissed. She uses a blackmail as a form of manipulation, okay, she uses sex as a weapon, okay? She'll deprive me of sex, okay, you know, because she was shamed from having any type of, ecstatic experience of undergoing sex.
What's your name, by the way?
I beg your pardon?
What's your name?
I'm sorry, my name is Ken.
Ken, so your wife has never kissed you?
Never, during 5 years. She doesn't believe in intimacy, and in fact, I was trying to give her a hug last night when she came home. She does not want me to display my affection for her, okay, to other people. I mean, she doesn't want me to display, and she uses, you know, the tactic that you're identifying, as a punisher. She will punish me if she cannot get her way, okay, emotionally. Don't let anybody know that I'm married to you. Don't let our daughter see us display emotions. Okay, because of, the shaming and the guilt, the point that you brought up, experiencing the guilt, because she experienced the guilt from her own parents that raised her.
So let me ask you, what do you love about your wife?
What do I love about her? I love her capacity to give. She's a giver. I love her capacity. Well, let me start even at the beginning. Initially, she owned a house, and I was a renter, and then we got into a relationship. However, the basis of even the marriage itself, the marriage came into being because, spiritually, she's a Christian, and she says, I don't want to be living with a man that I'm having sex with without the vestige of marriage. So we got married. But it wasn't a marriage based upon intimacy. It was a marriage out of convenience and out of compliance with the religious dictate.
But I understand, Ken, that you tend to have always settled, for meager affection. How about
right.
in your own family? Was there very little affection in your family?
That's to the contrary. My family had a lot of affection and a lot of love. But you're right. In my last two relationships, my wife and my previous paramour, neither of them kissed me. They didn't feel, and you're absolutely correct, that I was worthy of being kissed, and so I settled for it. And any time I try to challenge her, and not in a confrontational way, but, saying, well, let's experience the joy and the richness of intimacy, she will deny the intimacy. And then she will blackmail me, well, if you want this, you better do this, emotionally.
But then she also said, you said she has a tremendous capacity to give.
Yes.
And what way does she give?
Things. But her love is concentrated in giving of things and not of herself. Okay, in her time. We never spend any time with each other. She'll work 12 hours. I work 12 hours a day. We'll come home, and the first thing has to be the, television addiction. Oh, I deserve this. I've earned it. I work 12 hours a day, and I need this, and I need the TV. There's never any quiet time by which we can just, without confrontation, interact and cultivate intimacy. And I love her because she has a great capacity to give to others. Oh, let's give them money. Oh, your father needs money. Let me give it to him. Let's give things. And, well, didn't I give you this? Well, didn't I give you that? Didn't I buy this for you? Didn't I buy that?
She gives emotionally to other people. She gives physically to you. This
right.
capacity to give is like the tantalizer, in many ways, not like the tantalizer, but it's like she's a person who has it to give, and what happens when you disapprove or when she doesn't like what you do, she withholds.
Exactly.
And she's a withholder, right?
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah, she withholds. She'll hold back. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to give you sex. Oh, okay, well, if I give you sex, then, look, you got 5 minutes. Hurry up. It'd be 1 o'clock in the morning. We've never had, any type of sexual interaction before 1 o'clock. It has to be way late at night at her own convenience, and it's a blackmailing to us. Look, I'm just that way. I was raised that way. I have to release my anger when I get angry. and you are going to be the recipient of my anger and my lack of being able to be satisfied, and I'm using you, and I'm going to exploit you and get out of you what other men didn't give to me. And, you know, and it's a tactic that, you know, I'm at a crossroads. You know, I want to have a, I want to love her, but I do love her unconditionally, okay, and I've tolerated it, okay, but, you know, I'm at a point now that intervention needs to take place.
I hear, and one of the things I think, Ken, that need to be intervened is that you need to develop a higher level of sense of self-worth. You see, where we stand is we're at this point where you've got to quell all of the anger, which is one of the things we talked about before. You don't like anger, do you?
No, that's what, oh man, you that's what I talk. When you say that, oh, I despise, I'm a kickboxer. And I hate anger. I can't tolerate it. Oh, it just my blood pressure goes up. I start forgetting things when I'm in the heat of anger. And she has a temper. And this is, I'm telling you, this is manifested in her daughter now. Her daughter went to college, came back.
I know, well, wait a minute, Ken. You just went off the edge. I could see exactly what happened when I mentioned your own anger. It's your rage that you're afraid of. And as a result of that, you're holding down your rage and you're holding down the anger. And as a consequence of this, you can easily be emotionally blackmailed. Now, very many people feel the way you do about anger and rage. They feel that way. And what has to happen is somehow a therapist or a counselor has to take them through the process of their own anger. Once you see that your anger is not out of control and not destructive, you will be able to stand up for yourself better in the relationship and get the kind of love you deserve and need in this relationship. Because you'll probably find that as soon as you stand up for yourself, she's going to change her tune. It's not that they leave. It's just amazing how easy it works. So what you need to do is you need to work on yourself, and you've got to challenge the fear of your own anger and your own rage. You have to challenge the fear of it, not through kickboxing, but actually through psychotherapy, because that's exactly what it's good for.
Well, what tactics? Because if I do challenge her, then it's like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. You know, if I do stand up for myself and I say, look, I deserve a woman who wants to share in our experience. You know, this is a boat that we're on, and this is a lifeboat, and you are the mate, okay, that's helping paddle this boat, this river called life. And if I do stand up for myself, okay, you know, then, you know, oh, you want to argue. I don't want to argue with you. And then, you know, she will use that tactic again.
I understand.
And again and
I understand, again. Ken. We're going to have to take a short break. I'm going to give some of the different ways that people handle situations like this as we get further on in the program. But I will say to you very directly, it is your turn to take on yourself, not your wife, so that you could feel more deserving. And the way you do that is through your own kind of psychotherapy, which you're really ripe for. I mean, you're ready for this. Okay, Ken?
Okay. Thank you very much, Doctor.
My pleasure. Nice to talk to you.
Is your office on 57th Street?
Yes, 57th.
Yeah, she's right down the block from you. We bought the Enneagrams like 4 years ago. I got them in my car right now.
Great. Okay.
What Enneagram do you see in here?
Well, I got to get going. I will be back with you, okay? We got to go.
Thank you.
Right, bye-bye. We're going to have to take a short break, my friends. When we come back, a little special music for you, and then we'll continue our program.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and this is WBAI.
Okay, Armand, bring it up.
Non-commercial radio in New York.
You know it ain't easy for these thoughts to leave me. There's no words to describe it in France or in England. 'Cause diamonds they fade, flowers they bloom, and I'm telling you that these feelings won't go away. They even knocking me sideways. They even knocking me out there. Whenever you come around me, rocking me sideways. I keep thinking in a moment that time will take them away. But these feelings won't go away. These feelings won't go away. It ain't easy for these thoughts here to leave me. There are no words to describe it in France or in English. Diamonds, they pay.
Diamonds, they pay.
Flowers, they know.
Flowers, they
know. I'm telling you, these feelings won't go away. They've been knocking me sideways. They've been knocking me out there. Ever you come around me, these feelings won't go away. They've been knocking me sideways. I keep thinking in a moment that time will take them away. These feelings won't go away. They've been knocking me sideways. I keep thinking in a moment that time will take them away. These feelings won't go away. These feelings won't go away. With diamonds they play.
That's Citizen Cope. Citizen Cope. The song Sideways. These feelings won't go away. Did you ever get that feeling, my friend? We're talking about feelings here. If you just tuned in, this is WBAI 99.5 FM. This is Armand DeMille, the name of the program, The Positive Mind. The name of the website is thepositivemind.com. That's one word. And the beauty of the website is that there's a lot of information on that. We're just not selling a website because there's a lot of free information about psychology, about the human mind. There are many articles that you could read about different things dealing with human functioning. And now, thanks to Tom Gerbe, G-E-R-B-E, one of our web managers, we are able to put up streaming audio, and that means that you could hear up to 50 different subjects just by plugging into your website and plugging into the website and listen to some of these things like we have on there, All About Men, The Psychology of Men, Human Sexuality, The Drama of the Gifted Child. Some of you know what that's about. We talk about relationships, the positives and negatives of the relationships. Do tune in. I mean, do stream. You could also stream, by the way, WBAI's news program, Morning News, is now available 24 hours a day by going to the WBAI website. So streaming is a wonderful thing, and more wonderful than you think, because you may think that a program like WBAI or a program like we're doing today talking about emotional blackmail may have meaning to you. But in some little village somewhere, somewhere in the Middle East, there is somebody who's got a computer and I guess a DSL line, however they do that. But there's somebody out there who's listening to it also. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it's available. So now somebody stays up at night and instead of reading what they were told to read in school, they can listen to The Positive Mind and a program of The Positive Mind. And my friends, I get letters all the time from the far reaches of the world of people saying, we didn't even know that people could think like this. So here's a question we have. What about emotional blackmail? What about the emotional blackmail that we receive? Some of the symptoms of emotional blackmail can be a demand. That's an overt one. That's kind of easy. Somebody makes a demand. I want this from you or else. And they scream at you, yell at you, call you names. That's emotional blackmail. Resistance. Right? They could resist you. They could say, I won't give you what you want. You can, I'll shut up. I'll just bury myself. They resist. Another is pressure, you know, where somebody could be really just lean on you over and over again, kind of a nagging. And the threat here is, I won't stop until you give in. Of course, there are overt threats. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to abandon you. Repetition is another important sign, another part of the process of it, because if you repeat it over and over and over again, you know, you eventually can break down your opponent. Now, who's the kind of person who blackmails? Who does the blackmailing, you know? If you think about blackmailers in business or blackmailers in the world or blackmailers who are trying to get money from people, they're doing it. Why are they doing it? They're doing it because they can't get the money any other way. They don't believe that by doing what the rest of us do in life, earning, having a job, going to work, going to school, you earn your way and you make your way through life. No, a blackmailer believes they're going to take a shortcut. But based on blackmailing is always based on inadequacy. I don't think I could make it. If I just have to stand up to a normal challenge, I don't think I'm capable of making it. So the blackmailer is somebody who feels bottom line inadequate. And they get related to people who are easy to blackmail, like dependent people, like people who are frightened easily, or people who need to feel powerful. They get the emotional blackmailer is figuring they can't get what they want directly, so they're going to get it indirectly. They can't seem to get, they can't pick the people they want, and they find people who are susceptible to their blackmailing. Sometimes silent treatment is just enough as a form of blackmail. They don't need to be articulate or even speak to get their message across. As compelling as the blackmailers we've seen as far are the sulkers and non-talkers who retreat behind this kind of unverbalized anger. You've seen that often enough, I'm sure, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You've seen it. You've seen it often enough. The most common forms of blackmail are based on fear, you know? Fear is, you know, I'll leave you. If you don't do what I want, I'll disapprove of you. I'll stop loving you. I'll yell at you. I'll make you miserable. Or I'll confront you. Over and over again, you know? And so blackmail is used a great deal. So how do we deal with it and what do we do? So the obvious point of it is when faced with a blackmailer's pressure, you know, how do you deal with it? Well, if you're involved in a relationship with somebody who is a blackmailer, it means you're going to have a corresponding side and there's something that you will do about it eventually. When you feel better about yourself, here are the things that will happen to you. For example, if you have somebody who has catastrophic predictions or threats, this is the punishers, you know, they may try pressuring you to change your decisions about something by bombarding you with visions of the extreme negative consequences of doing what you've decided to do. Let's say you've decided to go camping with a friend, and your blackmailing mate doesn't want you to go camping with a friend, so they threaten you. They may say, if you don't take care of me, I'll wind up in the hospital unable to work. I mean, you know, you're going to go off, and what happens if I get sick? You know, how am I going to take care of myself? On an extreme level of threat, you go off and you leave me, if you say you're going to go away or do something they disapprove of, you leave me and you'll never see your kids again. Oh, that's an overt threat, and that threat's made a great deal. If you leave me, you're going to wind up destroying this family. Now, if you're a child and you say you're trying to talk back to your parents, parents are the most common form of, or one of the most common form of blackmailers. Because remember, blackmailing is based on helplessness, based on powerlessness. Parents very often feel powerless with their children, especially when their children finds another mate. One of the things that parents do is they help you, they blackmail you by getting you to break up with your mate. They do little things to kind of get you, you kind of point out the inadequacy and tell you eventually you should leave your mate. Because, you know, they're going to find some way of getting their own power back with you, get you to be dependent on them. I'll cut you out of my will. It's a common threat by parents. I'll get sick. I can't make it without you. I'll make you suffer. You'll be sorry. Now, one of the ways that you deal with that when you get your own ability to deal better with people who threaten you like that, you say, I hope you won't do that, but I've made my decision. Now, you have to be able to feel that in order to say that. I know you're very angry with me right now, you might say to them. When you've had a chance to think about it, maybe you'll change your mind and we could talk again. Another response you might say is, why don't we talk about this again when you're less upset? Because talking to somebody who's actively threatening you, especially emotionally blackmailing you, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. It kind of accelerates. And the other is to say, I'm sorry you're upset. And I know, but this is important to me. And I have to do what I have to do. And you actually could feel it. Another way that people might blackmail you if you want to do something, if you're going to do something, especially changing in some way, they can say to you, I can't believe you're being so selfish. Accuse you of being selfish. You're only thinking of yourself. You never think about my feelings. I really thought you were different from the others who I've been with. I guess I was wrong. Or they'll say to you, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Or everyone knows that you're supposed to respect your parents. How can you be so disloyal? Stop being such an idiot. Those are other ways that people blackmail you. Again, your response can be, hey, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. Or you can say, I'm sure that's how you look at it. I don't agree. That could be. You may be right. I need to think about it some more, is what you might say. I'm sorry you're upset, but you're not going to get anywhere if you keep insulting me. That's when you now own yourself, when you feel like you have a right to life. That's one of the ways you deal with it. Stay focused on your purpose, you know. The other person may demand explanations from you and want a rationale from you and you, about your decision. You may be thinking this is your big chance to say all the things you've ever wanted to say about how hurt you've been, how thoughtless they've been, how you're mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore. They're offering you the perfect opening to lay out an elaborate defense. My friends, don't do it. Stay focused on your purpose. You're presenting your decision, period. Don't get caught up in trying to explain it. Don't get caught up in the content of your disagreement if you want to stop blackmail. Don't go to a courtroom. Don't go to a point where they're saying something and then you're refuting it. Don't get involved in that. Because no matter what they say to you, they could say, how could you do this to me after all I've done for you? Why are you ruining my life? What's come over you? Why are you acting this way? Why do you want to hurt me? Why are you making such a big deal out of this? Again, your response is, hey, you know, we just want different things. I want something and you want something else. There are no villains here. I know how upset or angry you are, but it's not negotiable. I really want to do what I want to do. We see things differently. I'm sure you see it that way. I'm sorry you're upset. How about handling silence? You know, if somebody, in dealing with silent blackmailers, the thing not to do, don't do the following. Don't expect them to take the first step towards resolving the conflict. Plead with them. Don't plead with them to tell you what's wrong. If you're getting the silent treatment, do not beg them to talk to you. Don't keep after them for a response. That only makes them withdraw more. Don't criticize, analyze, or interpret their motives, character, or inability to be direct. Don't say to them, you're doing this just because. Don't willingly accept blame. Don't say, yes, I see your point. It's really my fault. I understand. Just as a way of getting them to talk to you. Don't get intimidated by the anger or tension in the air. Don't allow them to change the subject either. You know, don't let your frustration cause you to make threats you really don't mean. If you don't tell me what's wrong, I'll never speak to you again. Don't do that. Don't assume that if they ultimately apologize, it'll be followed by any significant change in their behavior. Don't assume that either. Remember, if this person is scared, the person who's withdrawing, and they're trying to get to you, don't expect major personality changes, even if they recognize what they're doing. But here's what you can do with somebody who is giving you the silent treatment as a form of emotional blackmail. Number one, remember that you're dealing with people who feel inadequate and powerless and who are afraid of your ability to hurt and abandon them. They're afraid of you. That's why they won't talk to you. That's underneath it all. They're afraid to say something about what they feel. You know, now it may not be that you're a real threat, but they're afraid. And this silent treatment has served them in the past. It may not be serving them now. Do confront them when they're more able to hear you. Consider writing a letter. It may be less threatening. Try not to blame them in the letter. Make the letter an invitation rather than a criticism. Do reassure them that they can tell you what they're angry about and you'll hear them without retaliating, and then keep that promise because you want to hear it. Do use tact and diplomacy. This will reassure them that you won't exploit their vulnerabilities and bludgeon them with recriminations. Do say reassuring things like, I know you're angry right now and I'm willing to discuss this with you as soon as you're ready to talk. Then leave them alone. Because if you pursue them, you know, they'll only be more angry with you. Don't be afraid to tell them that their behavior is upsetting to you. But begin by expressing appreciation. For example, saying, you know, like, Dad, I really care about you, but I think you're one of my smartest people I know, but it really bothers me when you clam up every now and then. You know? Do stay focused on the issue you're upset about. Don't try to bring in more than one issue at once. Do expect to be attacked when you express a grievance, because they experience your assertion as an attack on them, so get ready. If they do talk, they may come out with an attack. But what you're going to celebrate is the fact that they do talk, and don't take the attack personally. Just remember, when somebody is scared and they're silent, imagine a puppy who's in a corner, you know, who's really scared, afraid of being beaten or something, afraid of being hurt. When eventually you do get a sound out of them, it may be a vicious bark, and they may attempt to bite you. That's just the beginning. Do let them know that you're willing to do something, you know, to help. Do accept the fact that you have to make your first move most, if not all, of the time. And do let some things slide, my friends. I know that's hard to believe, but you got to let some things slide. You don't have to take on everything. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We've been talking about emotional blackmail. We've been talking about the kind of stuff that people do with each other, kind of hurt each other all the time. But the emotional blackmail is something that eventually you will get to on your own. You'll get to it by strengthening yourself, you know. You've got to get to it by building your own muscle. You've got to get rid of your own stuff, especially your own guilt buttons. You didn't cause it. When somebody starts to blame you, When somebody starts to hold you responsible for their misery, it's the work of somebody who is just feeling futile. They just don't know what to do. So your first step is to get off your own blame wagon, forgive yourself, realize that you've got to empower yourself, realize that if you've married somebody who has never kissed you, there was something in you that made you want to marry that person in the first place. Do realize that many times people who are related to emotional blackmailers are people who are very angry, but they don't know how to handle their anger. They use this person like somebody who's going to keep them under control, almost as if you're afraid of yourself. So if you want to be able to get a little stronger, that's something you've got to do for yourself. And sometimes you don't deal with it in the relationship. It's not always drag that person into couples therapy, although that does work. But sometimes you got to do your own work. You do your own work, you approach things a lot more peacefully. If you are being emotionally blackmailed, and you got a chance to mention the last one, many people are blackmailed emotionally by their children. Your children, if your children have the power to blackmail you emotionally, if your child can act aloof and diss you, and you take that as a pain, if your child looks at you and screams at you and you'll do anything to not have them yell at you, well, you see, now you've set your child up to become a blackmailer. You've got to stop that. And one of the ways you stop that is by getting yourself to feel stronger, because when your child starts blackmailing you emotionally, when they go to sulk, when they get silent, when they do all of these things, and you're intimidated by it, well, my friends, in some way, you've encouraged them to be this way for the rest of their lives. So rather than do that, the thing you should do is find yourself some help. Hey, okay, we're going to be going because we have another program coming up tomorrow. Roberta Atti and I will be on air with you again tomorrow. I wanted to sign off just with 2 minutes of a tribute to a special guy who I heard last night, Lou Donaldson, who I haven't heard for years, and he was playing in a small band at a kind of a benefit thing, and I was touched. I used to listen to Lou a lot when I was a kid. So I'm going to play Lou's favorite piece of music. And, Michael, whenever you need the time, you can take it from here. Let me see now. Nope. I thought I was going to play Lou's favorite thing. There it is. Here we go. We're going to do this all over again. To Lou Donaldson, who was a 1, 2, 3... And anybody who knows Lou, tell him that I played this to him. There we go. If you want a copy of today's program, you can call my office, 212-757-4488. It will not be available on the Internet for quite a while. So if you need it immediately, 212-757-4488. Back with you tomorrow, 1 p.m., my friends.
City, you are tuned to WBA.